Man, when perfected, is the best of animals, but when separated from law and justice, he is the worst of all. Aristotle. Chapter 1. Because he flew too close to the sun, Icarus, a youth who not only didn't follow orders, but also misused his father's magic, fell into the sea and drowned. I was determined not to be such an Icarus. Yet is fate something that a mortal man can dodge? Such questions became ever more difficult for me to answer, wrapped in my adolescent cocoon. Our little quintet had perfected the art of combat with our clubs. A heavier weapon than a gladius, good for bone bashing, skull clipping, killing if necessary. All the more crucial to catch every strike of that deadly weapon and counter it with something extra. We pulled leather hoods about our heads, fitted animal masks on our faces. Attached stunted devil wings crafted of wood and red cloth to our shoulders, to stir superstitious fear, as if we could fly like Hermes into the sky should anyone tried to catch us. The devil clubs they called us. Soldiers became our worst enemy. We despised them and they hated us. They weren't used to fighting against clubs of rough cut oak, so we had an advantage somewhat, before they could swarm us in numbers. That inevitability would come later. The club had a slightly longer reach so we could repel the scugs, the defenders of Londinium if we were fast. Londinium, a rough provincial town in Roman Britannia, waxed ever full of unpleasant surprises generated by brigands and drunken soldiers drifting from the popular taverns. Lawless no less than the prefects who turned a blind eye to the soldiers' antics. The Via Valia down which we trudged remained lit only by a single torch above a seedy brothel far down the way. Apartments above the shops remained dark as tombs, not a peep intruding upon our space. The occupants had learned to shutter their windows and block out the cries of an unfortunate victim walking the street in the dead of night. The clink of spear, the slither of sword, the thwack of a mallet on flesh all numbered as common sounds in these parts, violence spawned in the moment. A muffled shriek shattered the silence of the night. Mercy to the house of Mexer Salvius Vaedicio. I peered ahead to see three figures hurling a bundled body up in the air. From the desperate tone and the name shrilled at this late hour, I guessed it could only be one of my father's slaves, Dinesio, wrapped in that blanket. Tonight he'd become victim of three drunken soldiers giving an innocent slave the old upsy-downsy. Grab a freedman or slave, roll him up in a thick blanket and toss him in the air till he was frightened half to death, begging for mercy like a baby. The old game of sagacio. Such an innocent hardly knew whether his aggressors would let him fall on the stones and crack his skull open or let him live. Tonight, it seemed they had wrapped the damp wool too tightly and he could hardly breathe. They'd gone a step too far. We charged them, our clubs spinning and howls spilling from our mouths. They turned in surprise at the sound amplified by our masks, almost dropping their quarry on the way down. Thrusting Dinesio aside like a bale of straw, they moved in with swords. Our comrade Marcellus hopped around in a circle and hollered he'd drunk a little bit too much to be very effective. But Regalus, Febriax, Orin, and I had not, and we set on them with a vengeance in an area where the street widened into a square. We batted them with our clubs and kicked with our hobnailed boots. 5-on-3, unfair odds, but when was this world ever fair? A blade slipped off my trusty club. I whipped around and lashed out with my boot, whirled again and brought the wood down on the soldier's left shoulder. He cried out, clutching his arm. Regalus ducked under a thrust and cracked the second soldier in the thigh. Febriax and Orin baited and badgered the third man, showing little mercy. To and fro they darted in a rhythmic dance. My opponent began to get spooked. He cursed, unused to the ferocious and uncanny way I handled that club, a painted, masked devil in black and red. I parried his flashing blade, struck out at the padded leather around his ribs. He grunted and swore but let his guard down. Dracian, bless my brother's soul, had trained us well. You're taking the blow too high on the wood, little brother. Going to mash your fingers. Here, let me show you. In my mind's eye, Drace stepped behind me, grasped my club and hand in his, worked with me while Regalus, my sparring partner, came at me like the wind. My lanky, sinewy brother moved faster. Whoosh. A quick instep, a pull back with body and momentum, and our combined blow grazed Regalus on the hip, knocking him aside. My brother's leg lifted up to send him on his way to the turf. Such a move I never forgot. My bearded opponent's blade missed by a hair, but his fist thwacked me hard across the chops, bringing my reverie to an end. I shook out the daze and twirled back like a dancer. I swung out with a glancing blow which sent him leaping back with a howl. Such theatrics, ick. For the love of Hades, get it over with. Marcellus crowded close, club on the rise. His lean muscled frame arched in. Down his weapon crashed upon the soldier's back. The grog-breathed soldier took a sudden dive and fell motionless. Shaking my head, I wiped my bloodied lip and lifted myself from my senseless victim. I scrambled over to disentangle Dinesio from the blanket. He looked a sorry mess, staring wildied and gibbering like a child. He thanked me with profusion and I warned him to silence as we sped off into the night down the urine-scented alley, leaving three moaning soldiers twitching on the rain-damp paves. They didn't think twice about doing the old upsy-downsy with any slaves. I thought my ruggies would rez me about my lapse in concentration. Did they think me losing my edge? They were as shaken as me, keen to get out of that place. One tiny bit of carelessness and it would be all over for our scundering. Perhaps that's what ate at my gut. My number one pastime over. Finished. Drace's tragic demise taught us not to rough up the soldiers too much. A dead soldier was a much bigger deal than some head bashing and a few graffiti scrawls on a merchant's stall. 10-1 these 3D tuck tail and take their losses rather than complain to their superiors, and lose face at how they got sacked by a few kids. How'd you get that bruise on your face, soldier? Nasty spill, Centurion. That'll teach me for getting soused at the tavern. Well, see that it doesn't happen again. The flashbacks of Drace worried me. More and more I'd been having them of late. As if something in my inner being struggled to tell me something. But, young and headstrong, taller than most, all 180 pounds of me came with a chip on my shoulder as long as a fort's shadow. A dog barked, another snarled. One of the mastiff breed, the hunting hounds of the Britons. I shivered. That couldn't be good. A torch winked on in an upper story to the left. A deep-throated hound barked farther down the street, sporadic growls, followed by men's voices, echoing up the murky streets. Ossles and his muscle men of the town watch would be out patrolling this quarter since it fringed the domain of the well-to-do. Still we prowled the streets of Londinium like wolves, looking for trouble. Known about town more formally as the clubs of Londinium, some called us the Vandal Hoods. Marcellus, Regalus, Febriax, Orin, and I, just the five of us. We used to be seven, now two had passed. I, the youngest of the bunch, but no less keen or able. The governor, Quintus Pompeius Falco, had been the newest recruit to clean up this town. Decreed by Emperor Hadrian to make Londinium more presentable to merchants, provincial visitors, and the citizenry at large in a five-year plan. Good luck with that, Falco. Depraved youngsters they called us, nequi semi adolescentuli, nothing but glorified hellraisers and vandals. I think of us more as equalizers. With our clubs, masks and our devil's garb, we appeared invincible, a force to be reckoned with. We enhanced this image by hacking at and vandalizing temples. The baddest boys in Londinium. No one could name us. Tradesmen's and statesmen's sons by day, holy terrors, and ghosts by nightfall, thumbing our noses at the establishment. I tugged at the beak on my eagle's mask. My peers had similar masks to hide their identity, a Celtic horned bull for Febriax, gray ape for Marcellus, an owl for Orin, a hellhound for Regalus. Sweat poured down my cheeks, some pooled where the mask rested on the bridge of my nose. My hot breath reflected off the painted wood, bathing my cheeks in a thicker sheen of sweat. From the two knot holes of the mask, I looked out upon the scene of Via Valia, that narrow corridor of street and sidewalk, snaking between multi-storied apartments that wound down into darkness toward the stinking port. My nose lay crooked from so many fights. Hadn't he set right after the last two blows? Made me look a bit peculiar, earning such nicknames as Crooksnout and Flatface. The slight curve of nose, oddly, added to my mystique, if the sly comments of the slave girls in my father's household were to be believed. I'd fallen behind again, with Dinesio, our Briton slave, in tow. Regalus called over his shoulder. Snap out of it, Eagle. What's up with you? I shook my head. The wine combined with the flashbacks was playing havoc on my brain. Or maybe it wasn't he, and maybe the universe was sending me another signal. Something deep inside. With a vigorous shake of my head, I grunted a few flippant words and waved off Regalus. Dinesio I sent on his way back to my father's villa, off Via Decus. He alone of our household knew of my secret identity. Told him not to utter a word to my father of our escapades. We set off to scale the east wall and over to the cemetery to train, then indulge in more revelries. The night was still young. We Romans kept our places of burial outside the city. We did not lay our dead to rest too far distant from the living, careful not to offend the spirits. Just on the other side of the wall to prevent any hauntings. Crouching by the interior city wall, I retrieved the grapple hook and hempen rope concealed under a moldering sack in a niche where the stone had crumbled. I swung it over the top edge and we scaled the wall, plunging out over the dry ditch. We followed. A faint trail that led off into the shadows bounded by low shrubs and thickets toward the eastern cemetery. We depicted a place on the wall least noticeable, a place between the northeast gate and the river. Though we resided miles from the garrison abreast the west gate, caution still guided our movements. Who knew when a patrol might decide to scout the perimeter? In this cemetery we practiced our craft under the dim light of torches set on the arched grave of the Medeshaw's family vault. If ever we heard voices or footfall coming our way, we snuffed out our lamps and beetled away to hide in the shadows. When the sounds dimmed, we resumed our sport. Our fame had reached ears far and wide, but we had to be careful with patrols looking for us, so we threaded our way back to our refuge warily, staggered our training schedule to avoid any set pattern. We sparred with each other like enemies. This I remember from a young age, crouching there with my club, breathing ragged gasps, our silhouettes stretched like giants across the grassy yard flanking the stone pathways, promising deviltry of every kind, an eviler kind still. Maybe we got energy from those dead souls buried there under the ground. We blocked and we struck, lunging at each other fast and loose amongst the low tombstones, in and out, huffing like stallions, fainting, drawing each other out with curses and laughs until one of us was awarded a hit and gained a point. We tallied such points and our fierce competition kept us sharp. Wore a layered nest of leather padding under our regular garb. We complemented it with old helmets that Drace and Orin had dug out of the ground on some knight errand, from places where soldiers he knew had been buried. For our added protection, we donned such gear in case one of us should get a little too spry and eager, like Marcellus was wont. My brother's words came clear and true in my ear. A sword is for stabbing and gouging. A club is better for beating in a quick close quarter brawl. An intimidator. Like the early inhabitants of Britannia had. When they used to smash in the head of their neighbor, they knew their business. He then shown me his dog-eared grin with that slick cowl of black hair swept over his high forehead, and I would grin back at him, worshipping him as if Mars himself. Me, a naive boy, who had yet to get his ass kicked. But club or fist, or hobnailed boot, we had something going. Our own style of roughing up and pummeling. Pounce and beat in a surprise attack. Hit them and melt back into the shadows. Take out the knees, do the braining after, if they weren't already crying for mercy. A chest hit would do, but knee, neck and head were better targets. And so, there we gathered, hunched in the dark like night toads in the cemetery, with almost a post-coital low now that the thrill was over, even though the pickings had been slim that evening. The reality is, said Marcellus, Drace is dead. So is Aurelius. Now we have to pick a new leader. He heaved a sigh, leaning back against one of the weathered grave markers. Unless you want the clubs of Londinium to die. He flashed me a pointed look. The hell I do. My fists bunched at the mention of Drace's death. I rose to my feet. Good, then let's pick one. Me or you. The words hung hollowly in the air, as if it were pure blasphemy to suggest that any other ruggie except Drace could lead us. Regalus, ever faithful to me, held up a thumb and nodded in my direction. Febriax made a sign for Marcellus. All eyes turned to Orin, the surly Thracian. He frowned, shifting nervously in the damp grass. I'd say both of you. What kind of answer is that? Cried Marcellus. You re-wishy-washy, Orin. He glared, as if expecting the Thracian to change his vote. It's the best you'll get, Orin sneered. Take it or leave it. I don't want to be the one to split up the band. I can always bid for Icarus. We both lead then, said Marcellus, sounding somewhat put out. Up, you stinking laggards. Time for some more training. No mercy to soldiers, Icepat. None. They did Drace wrong. We train as if it's an all-out war. War to the bastards, echoed Marcellus. He picked up on the energy of my violent contempt and stirred up the others. I could see his grin grow as if he were the cherub Cupid, and he won the day. Crafty Marcellus, deflecting the awkwardness of the vote. We confirm it in blood. We each drew a knife's edge across our forearm and touched our crimson wounds to another. It signified we were blood brothers, brothers of the devil clubs. Orin was the stoutest of us all, a square-jowled sort, hawk-eyed, a brute at 16, a mix of Thracian and northern barbarian, maybe Dacian, prematurely balding even at his young age. A shock of short red-brown hair covered the top of his head down to his squirrel-like ears. Febriax, tallest of our gang, thin, lean and fast, a born ballbuster with his smug, two-toothed grin, rose 3 inches over Orin. A confirmed thug with long sandy hair like his parents, pure Britons to the core. Marcellus boasted a stringy mop of black hair, sparkling green eyes. Easily the slyest and most outspoken of us, a natural leader, but a bit too crazy for his own good. A rogue who de-earned the resentment of all of us at one time or other. Regalus, with his charming good looks, the sanest and most level-headed, remained perhaps my best friend, his father Roman, his mother Aselt from Coronium. I, on the other hand, dark-eyed and flaxen-haired, an odd combination. My father had bedded a tall barbarian from one of the windswept lands, one of the ice maidens from the places north of Gallia, and produced me. I stood proud of my heritage, being a somewhat mongrel breed, but a good breed, good blood, better than pure Roman. Why my father had come back to collect me, I didn't he know. A whim? No matter. I de found my place here. All of us boasted good physical condition. We could run all night, and swing clubs and bash heads even after several rounds of wenching and our bellies full of ale. Lo and behold, when we drew straws for who would spar with whom, 'twas me paired with Feberiax, Orin with Marcellus and Regalus to sit out the first round and fight the winner. Well, a sore irony that is, Marcellus said in a resigned voice. Ready your club, Orin. Seems as if we have a bone to pick. We set aside our totemic masks and donned our old crusted helms and extra padding. Out of the corner of my eye I watched Orin's fight while I parried Feberiax's advances, earning some hits to the thigh and growing bruises when my attention wandered. Marcellus's swing went a little too close to the mark and heavy clipped Orin's padded shoulder. Mad bastard. Get away, croaked Orin. That was uncalled for. Sorry, there, Wari. Don't get ornery. Just a little play gone wild. A little slip happens from time to time. And maybe I should swing closer to your neck too. Seems you sat back in that last fight with our soldier friends and let Icarus take most of the heat. Marcellus shrugged. He gave a sour smile. All in a night's fun, Orin. Don't get sore. While Orin grumbled and griped, they circled each other again. He took up his club in a firm fist and Marcellus crouched and moved on the balls of his feet, ever more confident, chirping at Orin once again for the last sour remark that had lost him some face. Orin slammed in for two hits of his own, prompting Marcellus to hold up a hand in defeat. Okay, enough, I've had too much ale. You win, Orin. What? Hissed Orin. This from the one who's been pestering us to spar. You filthy hypocrite. He laughed. Think I'll vote for Icarus then. The hell you will, growled Marcellus. He charged forward and they were at it again. So they gnashed and rolled on the ground, scrapping like dogs until each lost their clubs, leaving the rest of us in stitches. Orin and Marcellus finally called it a draw, both of them huffing and puffing, sweating, and cursing. We practiced for another hour before we all lay exhausted on the grass under the flicker of our torches. The land sloped down from the distant cobbled street and the vault house hid their glow from any passing eyes. I opened a wine amphora I'd brought from my father's stores and deposited in the cooler ground earlier. A little refresher for our efforts. The rebelliousness in our adolescent hearts I equated to the unrest that still festered among the native Britons here in the hinterland, the westernmost point of the empire. Pax Romana weighed on us like a stone, the imperial policy governing the provinces the defiant Queen Boudicca and her Iceni tribe and King Caradacus and his Caetovellonians, now distant memories. Like them, we entertained a desire to take a bite at the establishment, like a rat on the hide of dead cat. A worse threat, of course, the bully boy savages gnawing their way south from Pict Land, the barren highlands, raiding across the northern frontier, rather than the rebellious, freedom-seeking Celts in this rainy land of Britannia who prayed to their pagan gods for the departure of the Roman conquerors. I snuffed out the light with these pieces of trivia floating in my brain, and amidst the sputtering of oil and wafts of blue smoke, we lay down to catch a few winks before the dawn's breaking light.